Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Crime with Holly. I'm your host, Crime Holly. Today, I don't have any case updates for you guys, but I do, however, want to let you know that if you didn't already know, there is a link in the description of this episode and all episodes where you could submit any case suggestions that you might have. I get DMs all the time requesting certain cases, and I try my best to keep up with those messages. However, the best way to ensure that I'm going to see your case suggestion is by submitting it through the link in the description. That keeps all of the information in one spot for me, makes it easy for me to just go in there and find a case. Also, if you leave your name, I can give you a shout out in that episode when I use your suggestion. With that said, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. Today's case is on the brutal murder of Lauren Hugelmaier. Lauren Ashley Nicole Hugelmaier was born on June 9th, 1989, to her parents Dale and Lori Hugelmaier. Lauren grew up in Kentucky, and it was there that she first met Matthew Phelps while in middle school. Now, it is unclear how close they were or how well they knew each other back then, but that is where they met. Lauren is described to be very outgoing and a fun-loving kid. She had lots of friends. Pretty much, she never met a stranger and was very welcoming to anyone that she met. She was just very loving and was extremely, extremely close to her family. Lauren had two sisters that she loved very dearly, but she was very much a daddy's girl. She was his baby, and they had this incredible bond. Lauren was also very strong in her faith as a Christian, and she was very involved with her church. Now, at some point in her life, Lauren and her family moved away from Kentucky and moved to North Carolina. And years down the road, she was surprised to find an Instagram DM from someone she recognized, Matthew Phelps. When he found Lauren's Instagram, he went in and liked every single picture that she had ever posted and was very interested in reconnecting with her and to get to know her again, years after she had moved away. It wasn't long before Lauren and Matthew exchanged phone numbers and went from DMing each other to texting each other, and after texting for a while, they started having long phone calls. The more they chatted and got to know each other, the more that they found that they had a ton in common. Both Lauren and Matthew were very big into Harry Potter and Star Wars. She also was so happy to hear that Matthew took his faith very seriously as well. As I mentioned, Lauren was very strong in her faith and very involved in her church. Matthew was also a strong Christian and had even attended Bible college. As the relationship progressed, the more serious they became. And given that Matthew was still in Kentucky and Lauren was in North Carolina, the distance was tough, but they were making it happen. Now, at this point, they hadn't re-met each other again in person and had only been talking on the phone. But things were going so well for them that Matthew finally said, "What the heck? I'm packing my stuff up and moving to North Carolina to be with this girl." So he picked up his life and moved there for Lauren. Lauren's mom, Lori, was very excited for Lauren and this new relationship. She was very accepting of Matthew, felt like this was a good fit for Lauren. He seemed to kind of fit into the family dynamic as well. And he made Lauren incredibly happy. So naturally, she accepted Matthew with open arms. Lauren's father, Dale, on the other hand, was not as accepting of Matthew. He felt like Lauren and Matt were moving quickly, with him deciding to move to a different state to be with her. Something about Matthew for Dale just was off. He couldn't pinpoint exactly what it was, but something made him feel really uncomfortable about him. Despite her father's discomfort, which he did express to Lauren, Lauren continued her relationship with Matthew, and eventually the two got engaged in 2015. Lauren was so happy with how much Matthew tried to be a part of her family. He attended their weekly Tuesday night family dinners. He tried his best to fit into her life in all aspects. And it was during one of these family dinners that Matt and Lauren and her entire family was playing the game 20 questions. And if you're not familiar with what this game is, pretty much it's just a bunch of questions and it's kind of a get to know you game. But it was during this game that Lauren's entire family learned that Matthew had previously been married. This was a complete shock to everyone because Matthew had never talked about this marriage, and when they asked him for more information, he really didn't give them anything. He didn't really tell them what happened or why it ended, so this made everyone kind of suspicious of him. This was one more thing that didn't sit well with Dale. And I will say that what Matt told Lauren about this marriage was that he was cheated on and he felt very betrayed by his first wife when she left for a mission trip, came back and said that she had cheated on him, she was in love with someone else and didn't want to be with him. So this was a very sore subject for Matt. And so at this family dinner, Lauren really kind of just assumed that he wasn't opening up to her family about what had happened because it was just kind of like a wound that was still unhealed for him. However, Dale just didn't like that Matt didn't want to open up about it. He felt like Matthew was a little young in all aspects of life to have a failed marriage, and he was really stuck on the fact that he wouldn't give up a whole lot of details about this marriage. Now, the women in Lauren's family just kind of eventually brushed it off and they moved on, but this was just one more reason that Dale disliked this guy. So as I mentioned, the two got engaged in 2015, and to celebrate their engagement, they had a large engagement party where everyone they knew was invited to come to celebrate the couple. The majority of the people that came were Lauren's friends and family, but a few of Matthew's family members and friends came as well. Things were going really well at the party. Everyone seemed to be very excited for the big day. Those who didn't know Matthew seemed to welcome him with open arms, and Lauren and Matthew were feeling so loved by everyone who came. The party was going smoothly until Matthew's mom showed up. The moment that his mom walked into the house for the party, all eyes turned on to her because she showed up wearing a white dress to their engagement party. Now, I will say that this could have been completely innocent. However, I do feel like everybody under the sun knows that you don't wear white to wedding-related anything because white is what the bride typically wears. Lauren, of course, on that day was wearing a white dress at her party. And so when Matt's mom strolled in wearing a white dress, everyone was shocked. Again, I just want to say maybe it was completely innocent. Maybe she wasn't aware of the proper etiquette. But I honestly have a hard time believing that this was not done intentionally, especially given the fact that Matthew's mom herself had been married multiple times. So she's kind of been through it before. It was not her first rodeo. Now, I want to just mention that this was the very first time that Lauren had ever met his mom. On top of wearing a white dress to her son's engagement party, his mom was not welcoming at all to Lauren. It became very apparent to everyone at the party that his mom was not impressed with Lauren and didn't really like her son's choice in a wife. For the remainder of the party, Lauren was very uncomfortable with his mom being there, and rightfully so. This was supposed to be a day filled with love and excitement for these two, and instead his mom sat there giving Lauren dirty looks and just caused everyone in attendance to feel so uncomfortable by her presence. Lauren even expressed her feelings to Matt, telling him that she could just tell that his mom didn't like her, she didn't know why, and he told her not to worry about it. She was apparently extremely self-centered, he said, and felt like Lauren was taking her son from her. He reassured her that she was really nothing to him and the two weren't close. But obviously, Lauren was still bothered by this. She wanted to be accepted by her future mother-in-law, and understandably so. That is something that everyone wants. Everyone wants to be accepted by their partners, family members. So this was just very upsetting to Lauren. No amount of reassurance that she got from Matt made her feel better. Despite Lauren's dad being hesitant about Matthew and his mom being hesitant about Lauren, the two got married the following year in November 2016. They had a beautiful wedding that included a fun Star Wars theme. Since the two were both obsessed with Star Wars, they decided that it would be fun to incorporate that theme into their wedding, since it was something that they initially bonded over when they reconnected. They had fun photos done with Lauren and Matt back-to-back holding lightsabers, and all of the groomsmen had lightsabers as well. Overall, the wedding went well, despite Lauren never feeling accepted by Matthew's mom, who was there as well, and the beginning of their relationship seemed to be off to a good start. So I want to pause on the story a little bit and give kind of a little bit of an overview of Matthew and how he grew up. His dad was not in the picture at all during his childhood, and if I'm being honest from the sounds of it, it really sounds like his mom wasn't very interested in being a mom either. Growing up having an absent father and then a mother who isn't really interested in him, that was pretty hard for him, and so he was mainly raised by his grandparents. Matthew loved his grandparents greatly and they loved him, but it was still hard for him. They cared for him and tried to do their best for him, but being raised by your grandparent just usually isn't the same. And his mom was still kind of around. She was in and out a lot, but for her to be around and to not fulfill that maternal role, I feel like that can cause a lot of confusion and some deep feelings for kids while they grow up that they just don't understand. On top of just being overall pretty absent, his mom got married several different times, as I said, so he had men constantly coming in and out of his life. And most of these stepdads that came into his life, he really didn't get close with, but there was one that he liked more than the others. And this stepfather was one that Matthew bonded with over their love for scary movies. Because Matthew didn't have a lot of guidance in his life, when he finally made it to high school, he started to get mixed up with the wrong crowd. It was in high school that he started experimenting with alcohol and drugs, specifically cough syrup. He would take an excessive amount of cough syrup to get high. And for those that aren't aware, according to kidshealth.org, taking an extreme amount of cough syrup can cause hallucinations and out-of-body sensations that are similar to ones that are caused by drugs like ketamine and PCP. After getting into some trouble at school, his grandparents decided that they wanted to pull Matthew from public school and try putting him into a private Christian school. They were hopeful that taking him away from these bad influences would set him back on the right path, and thankfully it did just that. Matt seemed to turn his grades around. He was no longer using drugs. He was taking his studies and religion very seriously. And after graduating high school, he went on to Clear Creek Baptist Bible College. So getting back to Lauren and Matthew as a couple, as I stated, their wedding was in November 2016, and at first, things seemed like they were going really well, like any other typical newlyweds. They were making goals to save money to go on a Disney vacation and talking about dreams of their future. Lauren was extremely hardworking and was very driven in all aspects of her life. At times, she would be working up to four jobs at once. Her main job was working for a Fortune 500 company as an auditor. She also would babysit for people for extra money. She worked inside of her church daycare program. And she also started her own side hustle business selling Scentsy. If you're not familiar with what Scentsy is, it's wax warmers and wax melts. They say it's a safer alternative to candles, and they have a lot of different cute warmers to fit kind of all kinds of home decor styles. Also, they have a huge selection of wax scents. Scentsy is a multi-level marketing company, or MLM. Lauren was very passionate about her little Scentsy gig, and she made YouTube videos to try and promote her business. She seemed to do a lot of fun online parties for her customers, and overall, she was just very invested in trying to build her business. So while Lauren was working up to four jobs at once to make their dreams and vacation goals a reality, Matt, on the other hand, was struggling in his work life. He didn't seem like he could hold down a job. He would start one job, work it for a couple weeks, and then decide that he just didn't like it and quit. And naturally, this caused a lot of tension between Lauren and Matt. Lauren was adamant that Matt can't just up and quit his job because he didn't like it. He needed to have another job lined up before quitting because he couldn't just not have a job. But Matt really didn't care what she had to say. Her opinions, encouragement, and advice went in one ear and out the other. Often when Lauren would come home when Matt wasn't working, she would find that the house was a mess. He didn't clean or do any chores. He had spent the entire day playing video games, which was extremely frustrating for Lauren because she would come home and be expected to not only provide financially for her and Matt, but also cook and clean after an exhausting day of work with zero help from the person who was literally home all day long. And this was an ongoing thing. It seemed like the moment that they got married, a switch flipped and Matt couldn't hold down a job, and things really started to shift and change at that point. It wasn't long after their wedding that it seemed like Matt started pulling away from her family. He stopped attending their weekly Tuesday night dinners, and from the outside looking in, it seemed like Matt just really felt like an outsider to Lauren and her family. They were big family people. They loved to spend time together. They confided in each other over things. And this was something that Matthew never had growing up. I think he didn't really know how to cope with their closeness and took it more so as a personal attack on himself and like he wasn't good enough for Lauren. It almost seemed like he felt threatened by this closeness and like he expected that once he and Lauren got married, she would have only needed him at that point, if that makes sense. So with things on the rocks for them, the two decided that maybe a trip away would kind of mend their relationship. Matthew hadn't been home to Kentucky for quite some time, so they took a road trip back to visit his family. Now, before leaving for this trip, Matthew's mom called them up and said that she wanted to do family pictures, and she asked that Matt and Lauren dress in blue for these pictures. So Lauren went out and bought them new outfits so that they would look nice. Lauren was hopeful that this trip would also kind of bring her mother-in-law and her closer. They had an awkward start, and so she was hopeful that by this time, his mom had changed her mind about her. But when they rolled up to Kentucky, that was not the case. And the entire trip, his mom made Lauren feel like complete crap. On the day of the family pictures, Lauren and Matt got to the location to find that all of the women in the family were wearing white, not blue like his mom told them to wear. When they approached his mom about this, she told them that they were mistaken. She told Lauren to wear white and that the men would wear blue. But Lauren said no. They were definitely told to both wear blue. Lauren and her entire family felt like this was an intentional move on Matt's mom's part. She didn't want Lauren to be in these pictures. She didn't want her a part of this special event, and she did everything that she could to make Lauren feel like an outsider. Now, of course, this could have been a major mistake, a major misunderstanding, like his mom claims. Maybe there was some sort of mix-up, but everyone who had met his mom and saw the way that she treated Lauren felt like there was no way that this was a mistake. She did it on purpose to hurt her feelings and make her feel left out. Matt's mom made a huge deal out of this entire thing and canceled the entire photo shoot, practically blaming it on Lauren and her lack of ability to listen to instructions. When the two got back to North Carolina, Matthew seemed to become even more closed off from everyone. He was struggling with self-esteem issues. He had a lot of self-doubt. He worried that Lauren would cheat on him and seemed to be falling into a very dark depression. And he wrote about these things in a journal that was later found. While Lauren continued to strive to provide for their family and continue to save for their Disney vacation, Matt didn't change his behavior of refusing to find work. Lauren found that not only was Matt refusing to work, he also was beginning to steal from her. He stole money from her purse. He stole money from their vacation fund that she had set aside. And when she confronted him, he completely denied it. Lauren also found that he was spending extreme amounts of money from their bank account, and he had also racked up her credit card as well. Matt had purchased nearly $1,200 worth of video game credits on her credit card. After finding this out, she called her family extremely stressed because she only had enough money in her account to pay her bills for that month and nothing else. Prior to them getting married, Lauren and Matt had saved up $10,000, which is a good amount of money for a newlywed couple to start with. When all of this came to a head, she had less than $1,000 left in her account. Her mom and sister Beth agreed to come over to their house and kind of hold an intervention with Matt. They wanted to help them get squared away with their finances and encouraged them to make a plan. Lauren's mom and sister came up with the idea for the two to sit down one day a week to discuss their finances over dinner. Matt willingly agreed and seemed eager to finally get back on track with his wife. For a few weeks, this plan seemed like it was working. They did their weekly budget discussion over dinner, and finally, it seemed like they were on the road to healing their troubled marriage, which of course Lauren was really happy about. She didn't want things to end in a divorce. She was extremely religious. She didn't really believe in divorce. And so she was happy to fight and work for their marriage. However, on August 31st, 2017, Lauren began prepping dinner for them. And she texted Matt to ask where he was at, to remind him that it was their weekly night to discuss their budget. And he replied that he was running late. Lauren informed him over a text message that a woman by the name of Valerie had stopped by at the house looking for him, and that Valerie had said that the two worked together at some point doing door-to-door sales pitches. Matt just brushed it off and said, okay. Now, if some rando woman came at knocking on my door asking for my husband, I'd be a little concerned. I'd want to know who exactly she was and if the relationship between the two was something that I needed to worry about. And Lauren felt the same and was very uncomfortable by it. It wasn't long after Matt got home that there was a knock on the door again. And once more, this Valerie woman was there. Matt and Valerie chatted for a moment at the door. Lauren was still kind of working on dinner. She was on the phone with her sister, so she really didn't catch what they said. But at one point, Matt looks over to Lauren and says that Valerie needs his help and that he was going to go help her. He told Lauren this and walked right out the door, shutting it. He didn't even consult with Lauren if she was okay with it, nothing. And Lauren was pissed. Not only was she in the middle of cooking dinner for them, but he didn't even ask her how she felt about all of this before walking out the door with another woman. Lauren began blowing up his phone with texts and phone calls, and they all went unanswered. As each moment passed, Lauren was becoming increasingly angry, and finally, an hour after he left, he sent her a text message that said, quote, "Go ahead and eat without me. I'm having too much fun with her," end quote. Lauren was livid, and she sent a text message to her sister that said, quote, "I'm over it. I'm done. He's bringing me down, and he's ruining my life. I'm done," end quote. And ruin her life he did. Around 1 a.m. on September 1st, Matthew Phelps called 911 to report that he thinks he killed his wife. I will link the 911 call in the description of this episode so you guys can give it a listen. I would play it for you. However, it is a little hard to understand kind of the tone in which that they're talking. It's kind of hard to hear, but I will have it in there if you guys want to check it out. But I will just kind of go over what was said in this call. So Matthew tells the dispatcher that he woke up from a dream, turned the lights on, and found Lauren lying on the floor covered in blood. He tells the dispatcher that he also was covered in blood and there's a bloody knife on the bed and that he thinks he killed his wife. The dispatcher asks him if he thinks that his wife is beyond help or could he help her somehow, and Matthew replies that he doesn't know, he's too scared to get too close to her. He then starts telling the dispatcher that he thinks he took too much medicine and that he had taken Coricidin, cough and cold. He continues to say that he took it because he knew it could make him feel good and he was struggling with sleeping. So when police arrived on scene, they found Matt standing on the front porch with zero emotions, which, if you ask me, is odd. If you really truly did wake up from a dream and you found your loved one dead on the floor, covered in blood, you're covered in blood, you think you did it, you would think that you would be freaking out. Like, oh my God, how did this happen? How could I do this? What is going on? Like, you think that there would be some kind of freak out emotions happening, but he was standing there completely emotionless. Police immediately detained Matt and rushed in to hopefully save Lauren. And they walked into a very gruesome scene. They found 29-year-old Lauren lying on the floor in their bedroom in a fetal position, clutching clumps of her own hair in her hands. It obviously was very apparent that this was a violent and vicious attack. They rushed Lauren to the hospital, and unfortunately, there they pronounced her dead. While the authorities were searching Lauren and Matt's home, they found the medicine he had taken, they found the knife and blood literally all over everything. Shortly after Lauren was pronounced dead at the hospital, a team of officers were tasked with notifying her family. When the knock came in the middle of the night and Lauren's parents opened the door to find officers on their doorstep, her mother, Lori, said she knew. She knew in that moment that this was about Lauren. And when the officers confirmed that Lauren was dead, Lori said, "It was Matt, wasn't it? He killed her." And they asked her why she would say that. And Lori replied that she just had a feeling. And they said, "Yes, Matt killed her." When the autopsy was done, they found that Lauren had 123 stab wounds. According to WRAL.com, the medical examiner counted 24 stab wounds and 20 cuts to her head and neck, 13 stab wounds and 11 cuts to her torso, and over 50 stab wounds and slashes to her arms, proving that Lauren had at least tried to protect herself during this violent attack. Investigators believe that Matthew came home that night, grabbed a knife, and went into the bedroom where Lauren was sleeping. They think he rolled her over onto her back while she slept and then stabbed her in the face, and that she tried to then fight back. So as I said, Matt was detained immediately upon their arrival and was taken in for questioning. They noted that while Matt had a little bit of blood on his feet and a few spots on his face, he wasn't covered in blood like you'd expect from someone who had savagely attacked someone, leading them to believe that he cleaned himself up before making that 911 call. When they started asking him questions, Matt was very level-headed, and he was aware of what he was saying, his surroundings, his speech wasn't slurred, he was completely coherent, and they also took a sample of his blood and found that while the dose he had taken of this cough syrup was more than the typical amount, it wasn't a super crazy amount that would have altered his mind, unlike how he was claiming. Through his interrogation, investigators also learned of Matt's ex-wife, and he admitted during this interrogation that he had been abusive towards his ex-wife. He had, once more, a very weird story of him unknowingly abusing her, much like how he unknowingly murdered his wife. And all of this seemed like a crock of crap to authorities. Now, his ex-wife, her name is Brooke, she was interviewed. She did admit that there was abuse that happened, but to the surprise of everyone when they learned her story, the story about her cheating on him was not true at all. Matt had been the one that cheated on his ex-wife, not the other way around. Through their investigation, the investigators also learned of a female neighbor that Matt had been friends with before Lauren was murdered. This friend started to distance herself after Matt started saying some really weird and uncomfortable things about how he could steal her gun and kill people with it, and he was just displaying very odd behaviors. They also learned that Matt had a serious obsession with the movie American Psycho, which this movie isn't one that I have seen, but I guess the movie is about a serial killer. While obsessed with this movie, Matt also talked to a few people about how he was curious about what it would be like to be a serial killer and kill someone. On top of these comments he made, they also found out about an Instagram account that he had with a lot of weird posts. He posted stuff about the American Psycho movie. He posted very dark, demonic, and Satan things. And a lot of the stuff that he was posting was surprisingly a lot of anti-Christian content. This is very odd, considering the fact that Matt was very open about his desire to become a pastor and how religious he was and how much he cared about his faith. So that was just very creepy and unsettling. But if that isn't bothersome enough, his last post before Lauren was murdered read, quote, "Everyone thinks I'm a serial killer. Hashtag found an angel to kill," end quote. Investigators found that a week prior to Lauren's murder, Matt was looking up Coricidin, the cough syrup that he took that night that he claimed caused him not to remember the murder. He was looking up things like, how does Coricidin make you feel? What happens when you mix Coricidin with alcohol? And this was obviously a huge red flag for investigators, because Matt was claiming that he had no idea that this cough syrup would make him feel any kind of way. on October 5th, 2018, with a courtroom filled with Lauren's friends and family wearing blue shirts that read Lauren's Light, Matthew Phelps accepted a plea deal and pled guilty to first-degree murder. Part of this deal was that the prosecutors would not seek the death penalty, and so he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. At this hearing, Matthew was able to stand up and make a statement to Lauren's family. Standing next to his defense attorney, Matthew turned to Lauren's family sitting in the courtroom and read his statement. WRAL.com has the full statement, which I am going to play for you guys now.
I am sorry that I took away Lauren's life, a life that was deeply connected to so many people, her family, her friends, her church, her coworkers, and especially her nephews. And though I am the very least of these, I took her away from myself. This was a senseless, mindless act, and I regret every step that led me in that direction. Lauren was loving, caring, giving, hardworking, smart, fun, fashionable, and loyal. She was a daughter, a sister, a friend, a leader, a teacher, an aunt. I consider my own life worth nothing in the shadow of the tragedy weighing over my mind and on the hearts of so many people in this room today. I feel like a monster, one of the wretched, a part of the darkness we don't speak of. That darkness consumed me until I was blind to the path I had taken and death to my own cries for help. That darkness caused me to do the unimaginable, to take a life that was not mine to take. No length of time will ease my inner sorrow or relieve me of the memory of such a godless act as my hands, which I thought incapable of doing, have committed. And I will have to live the rest of my life with these hands as a constant reminder. I hope my life will be an example of the consequences for those who think that drinking, drugs, and carelessness will only affect themselves and no one else. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Because I now know the implications of my actions reach far more people than I realized, the people who were the most important in my life. And I am sorry. I am sorry to all those people. And even though I'll never be able to make up for the loss and the grief that I have caused all of you, I hope you will begin to see that I am doing everything I can from here to show you that I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir.
Now, while in court, Matt looked nothing like his normal clean-cut self, which I will have pictures of him before, and then I will also include pictures of him in court so you guys can see the major difference. But by this time, he was nearly unrecognizable with long shoulder-length hair and a beard. He showed zero emotions as he read that statement. And after the hearing, Lauren's family had gone on to say that they will never, ever forgive Matt for taking their sweet Lauren. It's truly unknown exactly the reason why he took her life. Many believe that he was unable to accept the fact that he was about to have a second failed marriage, while others think that Matt was just truly evil and wanted to take a life. His obsession with evil and dark things led him to be curious of what it would be like to take a life, and so he finally decided that Lauren was going to be his victim. It's truly a senseless murder that has left a family completely heartbroken. Lauren's family feels somewhat guilty about what had happened. They feel like they could have or should have prevented what happened to her. They feel like there were signs of abuse and extra issues that were going on that they didn't see until it was too late. I hope they know deep down that they have no guilt in all of this. And it makes me so sad to think that they walk around with any kind of guilt weighing on them. Lauren was a beautiful and vibrant woman who was such a positive light to her entire family. Hence the reason why they wear the shirts that say Lauren's Light and why they created the hashtag Lauren's Light. The hole her absence has left her family does not go unnoticed. Her sister Beth talks about how she often still, to this very day, goes to grab her phone to call Lauren to tell her something exciting, only to realize a split second later that she can't do that. Lauren is gone. I can't imagine that feeling of having someone so close to you stripped away in a blink of an eye. My heart truly does go out to her entire family. Crimesters, that is all of the information that I have on Lauren's case. I look forward to hearing your thoughts and opinions on this case and whether you think that cough syrup really could be blamed for Matthew's behavior. Make sure you're in my private Facebook group. You can find it by searching Crime with Holly podcast discussion group on Facebook. In there, I share all information and pictures pertaining to the cases that I cover, and I also encourage all of our members to share all things true crime. You can also follow me over on Instagram. I've been super active over there recently, sharing bits and pieces of my life, and my username over there is Crimeaholly. Lastly, if you'd like more true crime content, you can follow me on TikTok at crimewithholly.podcast. That is all for this week's episode. Until next time, be aware and take care, my friends. Bye-bye.